Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, reading verses 12 to 17. This is the last passage in what is an introductory section to Matthew's Gospel. So when we get to verse 17, it's kind of a transitional verse. It's a verse that is very important. It's a verse that has a very rich meaning. And so we'll spend a little bit of time on it tonight and then a little bit more time on it next Lord's Day because this is such an important verse. And you might be thinking that perhaps these verses are not so important. They talk about a time when Jesus moved to a different place. But it's actually quite an important passage for reasons that we'll see. I want you to think about what is being declared in verse 14 concerning fulfillment, and then look at this fulfillment statement, what is given to us in verses 15 and 16. It's right from Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. There's a fulfillment of something that God had declared was going to happen. Verse 12, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, In the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The precious word of the living and the true God." We know as we looked at the ministry of John the Baptist in chapter 3 that John the Baptist foreshadowed Jesus Christ. That some of the things that John the Baptist said and the way that he interacted with the religious leaders was a foreshadowing of the work of Jesus Christ. Now we read in verse 12 that after a period of time, which we know from the Gospel of John, Jesus was ministering alongside John the Baptist, a time when he started in a very obscure way, John was arrested. John was arrested and he was cast into prison. Cast into prison for being one who spoke the truth. We know that from other gospel accounts what was going on. He spoke something to Herod about Herod's lifestyle. And yet Jesus, at this particular time, departs into Galilee. Now, some would take this as Jesus doing something that was a strategic withdrawal, perhaps. He did not want to draw too much attention to himself. But there was something else going on. There was something else that resulted in Jesus departing into Galilee. Nazareth was his hometown by now, as we learned already earlier on in the Gospel of Matthew. And so he left Nazareth and he came and dwelt in Capernaum. This becomes his base of operations. This becomes the place where Jesus begins to operate. And Capernaum was larger and more significant. So it was more strategic in that sense. It was a busy place. There was a wider audience. It was on a lake. And Jesus was going to call fishermen to be fishers of men. Matthew lived in Capernaum. We find that out in chapter 9 of our gospel. Peter and his mother-in-law lived there. We find that out in comparing two other gospels. A very significant place, more people. But there was another reason why Jesus began to do his ministry in Capernaum. We see that as we see the declaration of what Capernaum was. It was a place on the seacoast, and it was in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. These two places. These are the two places that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, picks up on to show the significance of why Jesus went to this place, why Jesus began to reach this area. Verse 14 tells us clearly that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, Isaiah, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy. This prophecy that was given to the people in exile in Isaiah's day. This prophecy that was given back in the 8th century before Assyria began to take over. This prophecy that comes from Isaiah 9 that we can read about quite easily as we compare the verses that are quoted to what it says in Isaiah chapter 9. This is what it says. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when he at the first, he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." The declaration was that there was going to be a time when the people who were living in this land of great darkness, were going to experience a great light. There was a declaration given to people in time of exile. And this was a very, very significant time. Because if you read Isaiah chapter 8, you find out that judgment was to come upon the people. That Israel was actually dispersed by the Assyrians. Dispersed by the Assyrians in a time that we read about in 2 Kings 15 and verse 29. "In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abel Beth Maacah and Genoa and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria." This place, Naphtali, the place that we see in our passage, this place that appears in Isaiah chapter 9, this was captive to the Assyrians. And it became known as Galilee of the nations. Lots of Jewish people there initially, but then after the Assyrians took over, more Assyrians and more people of the nations than anything else. Later on in history, they began to repopulate the area. So it became a place that the Jewish people despised. There are some Jews there, but they're not the ones that are in Jerusalem. There are mostly Gentiles. And it became known as Galilee of the nations, according to the prophecy. Galilee of the Gentiles, according to this translation. Gentiles, the nations. A place of uncleanness. A place where people don't know God. A place where people don't have the light of the knowledge of God in their midst. A place that's referred to as toward the sea. By way of the sea, beyond Jordan. The language even showing you the way an Assyrian invader would look at this place. Galilee of the Gentiles. More true than in Isaiah's day, as over 50% of the population were Gentiles. But all of this, you see, is right at the beginning of Jesus' work, in a gospel that is written to Jewish people. Why? Why is it front and center? In a gospel that's written to Jewish people. Why is Jesus strategically setting himself up in Galilee of the Gentiles? Well, it's for the same reason that we saw little hints of the mission of Jesus Christ that would be extended to the nations. early on in the Gospel of Matthew, the wise men come to see the child. There are people from the nations who are being included. The Gospel of Luke makes a big deal out of this. The poor, the marginalized, the people who are outside, those are the people that Jesus reaches. But this is a gospel that's written to Jewish people. Why would Jesus set himself up in a place that is so dark, a place that is so spiritually dead, with the echoing memory of the Assyrian invasion? I mean, Israel was devastated by this judgment. And God had promised a restoration. But the restoration doesn't seem to have happened completely. There's people of the Jewish people. There's people of the Gentiles. There's a lot of people that don't know God in that place. What's going on? Well, I think it's important for us to remember that the people of God had forgotten their heritage. They had forgotten how things started in the very first place. They had forgotten what God had said to Abraham way back in Genesis 12. Way back when God had declared his mission intention. In Genesis 12, the Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That was the heritage of the people of God. There was a movement that was designed to go towards the nations. Now, the people of God expected, because they read Isaiah, that the nations would stream towards Jerusalem. They expected that the nations were going to come and ask to be taught in Jerusalem. But they didn't know where Jerusalem was going to be really located. Because in the work of Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be installed on God's holy hill. And by the time we get to the book of Hebrews, we see that the Jerusalem above, a heavenly place, is where God is gathering people. That's what began to unfold as Jesus Christ specifically and intentionally sets himself up in a place of darkness. The trajectory is already set, the focus on the non-Jew. Now, Jesus Christ still, in the Gospel of Matthew, goes towards the Jewish people. He tells us that in Matthew 10. He tells us that in chapter 15. He's going to the Jews first. But the trajectory is set because Jesus Christ intentionally is on the way to a wider mission. By the time we get to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ will say that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he tells his disciples specifically to go to the nations. Jesus came and spoke unto them, Matthew 28:18, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This much we know. This much is familiar to us. We know that Jesus Christ came to go to the nations. What we need to understand more completely from this passage is how this region in which Jesus Christ set himself up was viewed. Look at the language here. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, the Assyrian point of view, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, characterized by the nations, characterized by those who are not Jewish. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. They sat in darkness. If you look back at Isaiah 9, you see that the language is there of walking in darkness. But here the language is a little bit more extreme. You're simply sitting there in the darkness, not knowing God, a place of spiritual blindness, a place of reminders of the judgment that God had sent on the people of God, Israel, scattered. Darkness. And in case we didn't get the point, the word of God goes on, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. The shadow of death. It's a dark place. It's a place where death casts its shadow on the people who are there. Death and its shadow. You've been hearing about death and its shadow all year. You've been hearing about it not only in the United States of America, but around the world. What we need is one who can lead us through this valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a comforting thing for you and for me. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear evil because we have one who's with us. Like the child walking with their father through the woods, and they can't see anything, but they know their father knows the woods, and he holds their hand, and that child is comforted. Even though they can't see, they don't know where they're going, but they know the Father is with them. That's what Jesus has come to bring to this land of the shadow of death. Jesus Christ has come to bring the knowledge of the presence of God, the knowledge of the great Messiah who has come. Light! Light has come through Jesus Christ in this place where death's shadow has fallen upon the people. That's important. That's important because we know that the book of Isaiah didn't stop in chapter 9. The book of Isaiah is like a mini Bible. It goes on, and it has 66 chapters. The book of Isaiah shows us the entire scope of redemption. And by the time we get to chapter 60, we read these words, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." You see, the prophecy through Isaiah by the Holy Spirit was that the light was going to draw people. People who were in the darkness, even among the Gentiles, the non-Jews, they were going to experience the blessing that was promised to come through Abraham. Because this Abraham is the spiritual father of all who believe. And the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham came through Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Galatians tells us. But it's light, you see. It's light for those who are in a place that's governed by the shadow of death. It's light in a place where people are governed by the knowledge of previous judgment of God. The knowledge that they are not the people of God, that they do not have that which makes them acceptable to the Jewish people of their day. That's the place where Jesus begins to preach. And so when Jesus says these words that are exactly what John the Baptist says, they come with power. Because John the Baptist was speaking about the kingdom of God coming and judgment just around the corner. But when Jesus Christ says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he means that light is streaming into the darkness. He means that light is streaming into the place that was characterized by the shadow of death. Jesus Christ has come to bring light. He's come to bring the knowledge of God. He's come to bring resurrection life. He's come to bring the knowledge that you can have a a relationship with God, so that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know that He's with you. He's guiding you. Jesus Christ has come to bring the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is so powerful and effective that as we read the rest of Matthew chapter 4, we see that He calls disciples to follow Him, and they do. And Jesus begins to teach and preach and heal. He brings the privileges of heaven to people living in a place characterized by death, the shadow of death, a very dark place, not even acceptable to the Jews who live in Jerusalem. But the King is here, you see, the one who brings light. This is the one who can guide people in darkness. So when you pray for your neighbors to trust in Jesus Christ, when you pray for those who are in the pharmacy that you meet, when you encounter people who are in your neighborhood or in your place of employment, you can pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, cause that person to arise, to see the light. Cause them to come to the light. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. And the evidence of that will be repentance, because of the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's the point in receiving the privileges, the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. And we'll cover that next week. But it's important for us to remember that Jesus Christ deliberately, intentionally came to the darkest of places to show that if the light can shine there, the light can shine anywhere. And brothers and sisters, that's encouraging. That's encouraging tonight. Because Jesus Christ has come to bring light even into the region of the shadow of death. And you can face a world that is overcome by the shadow of death tonight with that knowledge. You can face that world, and you can be comforted yourself in order to comfort others. You need simply to point them to the light. Receive the blessings of the kingdom of heaven and turn around from trusting in anything that is from this dark world, this world characterized by the shadow of death, and instead turn to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ.